Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Where you come from, do you put the kettle on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller. Luke Moore's here.
Ramos, Mexico.
Jim Campbell's here.
Hola.
And England's Rose, Pete Donaldson.
Yeah. Oh. At least Yuri Gagarin is doing his job properly. That's all I'm saying.
He
absolutely
is. A fearless man.
It's a digital football thing.
It is.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the black grape fans among us. Oh, we've got a big result. Here it is. Yeah. Here it is.
England 4.
Just glancing into the future. Yeah. The Mexicans causing earthquakes back home.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, loving my it. Goodness.
Where were the Germans?
Yeah, and frankly, who cares?
Who gives a shit? Barry Davis would have said if he wasn't as professional.
Let's not be disrespectful to our European brothers.
To Germany? No, let's be very disrespectful to Germany.
It's rare we get the chance. We're not going to pile in on it.
It's unlikely we're going to be able to be respectful to England.
All I'm saying...
So let's be disrespectful to Germany
that's
instead.
That's the point I'm about to say, is that they lost 1-0 to a good Mexico side. Tomorrow, when we're talking about England having been beaten 2-1 by Tunisia...
With hangovers.
Not I keep myself professional, but in and outside the pub.
It's Jim's birthday today, and England are playing. There's no way we're not
it's
getting pissed.
It's Jim's birthday, everybody.
Well done, happy Jim. Birthday, Jim.
Well done, Jimbo, guys. Another year.
Well done. Mummy and Daddy Jim.
Yeah.
Having a bit of loving.
Come on.
Jim, your clumsiness levels, it's amazing you've made it to this age.
It is, isn't it?
You should be very, very proud of yourself.
It's a statistical anomaly, but I'm grateful for it.
Almost as clumsy as Ozil trying to defend against Mexico.
Well, at least he got back.
At least he did.
At least he tried.
At least he did.
Indeed, yeah. Well, hopefully England will give you the birthday present that you really want, Jim. Mm. But Mexico perhaps gave you something to cheer about on your pre-birthday
Absolutely,
day.
Absolutely, yeah, on my birthday eve. It was a beautiful performance, wasn't it? Because as we've said many times on the show, Mexico are the most World Cup team. And we've been waiting for a shock. Mm-hmm. And this was absolutely beautiful. Irving Lozano as well was talked up a lot before the tournament. And sometimes that kind of pressure affects a player and they get a little bit of play within themselves. A bit, but no, he was racing to go. It was beautiful. And you look at that team, you think, you know, there's Chicharito in there, there's Carlos Vela, there's, you know, the Dos Santos brothers are in that squad, and you think, oh, you know, this is nothing we haven't seen before from Mexico. But perhaps you forget the sort of advantage of having such a closely knit team that have been playing together for a long time. Those players have all come of age.
Well, I was just going to say it's interesting, and not necessarily with Germany, perhaps, but we are starting to see a bit of a pattern with teams who have got one really big player. You know, we talked about how Ronaldo has essentially accepted his role on the team a bit more and is doing a little bit. You know, maybe almost we mentioned perhaps it's possible that even Ronaldo and Messi's roles have seemed to be reversed in international football. Argentina looking a lot towards Messi to their detriment. Brazil, who we'll come on to, looking a lot towards Neymar, perhaps to their detriment. Mexico, as you say, a very tight unit. Everyone knows their jobs. And they exploited Germany's lack of legs and lack of pace to an incredible degree.
I mean, it was incredible.
To the point, now I understand Germany had chances. Now I understand that particularly in the second half, Germany pushed and pushed, and that's always going to happen. But Mexico, if they had been clinical, would have been 3 or 4-0 up. They would have absolutely embarrassed Germany. It would have been like Netherlands against Spain. When was that? 2014.
Well, you were saying on the WhatsApp group their decision making in the final third was terrible.
It really was. It's such a
they
shame.
Could have had 3 or 4.
Yeah, I know. But Jim, you spoke about the togetherness of the side. Their Colombian manager Juan Carlos Osorio, who could be one of the characters of this World Cup, has been he was brought in a few years ago, but he's got this a kind of a siege mentality that we often talk about in football. He's got that togetherness of the group. He's been really criticised in Mexico for constantly tinkering away, named 48 different lineups in 48 matches.
I love that.
Well, rendering everything I just said as bullshit.
Yeah. Well, no,
but they can still be a knitted together squad.
Yeah, exactly. I think the core group of those players have certainly been together for a little while. And that T-shirt that he wore in the presser after the game saying, play for the love of winning, not for the fear of losing.
He was right on the corner of his technical area.
He's brought a T-shirt along there.
He's made up a T-shirt. Well,
he was at the corner of the technical area with a white shirt on, and obviously Germany were playing in white. I was like, you're just going to confuse your players, or maybe the Germans, or is that part of it? I don't know. And I tweeted and then someone replied saying, oh, you weren't bothered about Javier Renard doing it. He was like, well, he wasn't practically on the pitch.
And Morocco don't play in white.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Iran do, though, don't they?
Sure, yeah, but who cares? Okay.
Well, I mean, it seems quite central to the point.
But I
think Osorio has been influenced by Javier Renard, and I think we all have to a degree.
He does the get down on his haunches kind of thing. A lot of coaches do that.
His nickname is the recreationist due to his unorthodox training methods, which I quite like.
They're so obsessed with nicknames in Central and South America. That one isn't even the shortening. They're making it harder. Just say Osorio. It's much easier. But you know, early on in this game, you could see that Joshua Kimmich, who I've said possibly on the continent, maybe on this show, that he is among the very best fullbacks in the world. He pushes forward. He wants to attack, but the problem is, he's got Khedira, who looked like he was over that side for quite a lot of it at the base of the midfield. He's got no legs. Muller just didn't want to work back. And Boateng and Hummels are slow.
Cruz was a bit like, this doesn't normally happen when I play for Real Madrid.
I think Cruz missed having Casemiro behind him.
I think
big
so.
Time, yes.
Yeah, I think anyone would.
Yeah, and I know this is going to sound like an Englishman just saying that Germany are arrogant for the sake of it.
But genuinely, there
was a touch of arrogance about this. There was no urgency until it was far too late. Mm-hmm. There was almost a feeling that they thought, oh, well, yeah, we'll close this out at some point. It'll be fine.
Is it possible for a team like that to be arrogant, though, when they are just so clinical, or have been in the last million tournaments?
If you talk about 2014, Pete, I mean, a lot of those players are now 4 years older. Mm. And if you go against a team who are rapidly quick and who will hit you on the break and devastate you on the break. Danny Murphy made a really interesting point on Five Live where he said, because Mexico knew they were smaller, they kept three people up front at all times.
Well, that's what he thought they did.
Yeah, because then that meant Germany wouldn't overload the box with taller players at set pieces. Mm. But ultimately, it was just their pace. I mean, Germany, you can't play like that and not work back. That's the problem. And they got overrun over and over.
I thought Khedira had a poor match. And he had a lot of the ball, but he just didn't seem to do anything with it. It was such a sluggish performance on Germany.
Mm. Based on that game, and there's only one game, and Marcus has made his feelings quite clear on opening games for teams, and I get that. But based on that game, this is a tournament too far for Khedira. I mean, there's no way he can start the next game. They play Sweden next and they play South Korea. They'll get decimated with their energy as well.
How old's Hummels? 29? He was just pulled all over the place. He was getting dragged all over the place. The sort of thing that Ozil used to do to players.
Yeah, interesting enough. I found it very interesting to see how Mexico reacted after they'd scored, particularly in the second half, because it looked like they never really believed that second goal was going to come. They sort of slashed at things where they could have taken a little bit more time because they had chances on the break, but it almost felt felt like they were being consumed by the story of like, oh, let's not get carried away. It'd be great if we, you know, get a bonus one. But it would have been interesting to see if they're a little more clinical. Because I think they've sort of, they've become a team everyone wants to see do well now. Oh, I mean, everyone always wants Mexico to do well. They're just a team that for some reason you have good
any
will
team
for,
that turn over that quickly is just one of like, it's a swashbuckling team like that. It's, well, not swashbuckling, just a really quick kind of on the brick kind of team. Yeah. But like,
it shows you what you can do.
Direct.
Yeah, direct.
As you were saying,
but also just also knowing how to mark people like Kroos. Like, he just couldn't get hold of the ball, yeah, really, could he?
It shows you what can be achieved. Germany are a far better side than Mexico on paper. Mm. But it shows you what you can achieve when the manager sets up and prepares and it is executed and it has the confidence of the players. Of course, you've got to get the you know, your players have got to be up for it on the day and all that kind of stuff. But Osorio was absolutely loving it in the post-match. With all due respect, we were superior to them. And not many managers, not many opposition managers say that about Germany, the world champions. You know, quite incredible. But he talked up about he talked up the plan that he'd been conjuring up for the past 6 months, spoke of playing two wingers with pace, and planning for the substitutions, as he put it, they tend to make. And that feeds into your point, perhaps, Luke, is that maybe Germany, arrogant might be perhaps a harsh word, but I understand why you're using it. Maybe they did rest on their laurels a little bit. Maybe they just thought, you know what, we'll turn up, we'll be okay, all that kind of stuff. Now, there is something to be said for a calmness of a side. You know, we talk about perhaps Spain maybe playing that way. They don't get rattled. They do keep it there. But with this Germany side, it's not really that.
But you've got to be focused as well. Calmness is fine, but I mean, the ultimate upshot to this game, if you look back at it now, is that Kroos and Khedira particularly looked like they could just coast their way through the midfield in the game. And Herrera, who's had a great season at Porto, dominated that game in midfield, and Guardado, who also played very well, they were far better. They were much better players. It was a much better performance.
Carlos Vela doesn't even play for LA Galaxy. He plays for the other LA team, and he was one of the best performers on that field.
But they also dominated down the left-hand side. Lozano started off there. He drifts around a bit, but he started off there and he got his goal. But Gallardo and Lozano on the left-hand side, they knew, and Osorio would have coached him on this, they knew that Kimmich just wants to attack.
Yep.
And if Müller isn't going to work back because he doesn't feel like he wants to, or maybe he doesn't feel like he needed to against Mexico, then Kimmich was going to get constantly exposed. And that space that he left behind him, Boateng and Hummels aren't quick enough to... I mean, Boateng probably did better than Hummels and did his best, but on his own he couldn't do it. And the space was continually exploited. And I'll repeat what I said on the WhatsApp group as well.
Pete is a dick.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's this going?
What's Pete doing here? It is that if they had made better decisions and were more clinical, there was two or three moments where it's funny. Someone pointed out, I think, before that Hernandez was brilliant up until the decision at the end,
and then he was
poor. You expect the opposite from him. He's normally a clinical finisher.
That's right, absolutely.
Normally finishing off moves, but he didn't do that. Had he been on that sort of form, I mean, they would have been beaten probably 3 or 4-0.
But the whole performance smacked of Mexico knew exactly what Germany were going to do, and they completely overrun them. And I think the Germans were like, well, "Hang on, what's going on here?" But it was absolutely incredible. I mean, Mexico, it just didn't occur to them that that's Toni Kroos that you're overrunning in midfield there.
Yeah.
That's flipping Sami Khedira, who plays for Juventus, that you're just breezing past like he's not there. You know, they didn't
it's a
give
very
a
interesting World Cup, Marcus Speller, and I, for one, am enjoying
it's
it.
It's great.
We all having a bit of Rafael Marquez coming on.
Love it.
Come on!
The Toni Kroos thing is an interesting point, because I think maybe towards the back end of the last season in the Champions League, he looked like among the very best midfielders in the world. But you take away Modric and Casemiro from alongside him, he looks a different player.
Okay.
But Germany are now 8-1, fourth favourites to win the damn thing this summer. So £10 with Bet365 returns, £90 including stake, should they successfully defend their title. Sweden next, isn't it?
They put in a stinker of performance and they're still fourth favourites to win it.
Yeah.
but Rafael Marquez coming on to see out the last 20 minutes. Just get us over that. I tell you what we're going to do, Germany.
Not fresh legs, is it?
We're going to bring on a 39-year-old who's going to be retiring at the end of this
tournament. These legs are not fresh. These legs have been left out of the fridge for some time.
Well, basically,
many years.
Mexico retiring a little bit, and that moment could come when they suddenly go, oh my goodness, this is Germany, and they're coming hard on us, if you pardon the expression. dearie me, ladies and gentlemen, I do apologise for
Rafael
that.
Rafael Marquez, Mexico are basically, I'd love it if Osorio went over to Yogi Love as Marquez was warming up and just getting stretched off ready with the assistant to get him on the pitch. Just leant over to him and went, made his debut in 97. playing for Mexico since 97.
Well, he became one of three men to participate at five World Cups when he came on. Made his debut in 97. He wasn't even picked for 98.
That's a shame.
So he could have had six.
Could have had six. But Germany do face Sweden next. Sweden's versus South Korea is, of course, on today. A little bit of chat surrounding this one is quite interesting. Shin Tae-yong, the manager of South Korea, said most of his players wore different shirts for the pre-World Cup friendlies against Bolivia and Senegal to confuse any opposition scouts watching.
What do you mean by different shirts?
Well, different names on the back and all that kind of stuff, I think. Only Son of Spurs, of course. Son of Spurs sounds quite good. And Key of Swansea wore their proper jerseys, probably because they're two of the more high-profile players inside. Yeah. And Shin said, they might know a few of our players, but it's very difficult for Westerners to distinguish between Asians, and that's why we did that. All coaches probably feel their opponents are always being spied on. Now, I wouldn't like to go into the first half of those comments, but the second half about always being spied on. Well, it's funny, because a scout from Sweden was apparently illegally watching a close training session of South Korea's before the tournament. And the manager was asked about this, and he said, "Oh well, he was asked to leave, so then he watched from a distance. So he's still watching." Then he was asked, Jim, about wasn't he renting a house that was across the road from where South Korea were training? No, I don't want to talk about that.
I love it. Weird little Cold War between Sweden and South Korea.
I love it.
I've often said on this show that, you know, if you go over to the US and you watch all the US sports, there's been so many scandals, particularly in the NFL, about spies. About other coaches sending drones over and all this other stuff, purely because the playbook of another team in the NFL is really big, right? Mm-hmm. If you can get access to their playbook, you can basically beat them. Not easily, but you give yourself a much better chance.
Yeah.
We never hear about this in football. It's weird.
Would you remember the one in Italy where the bloke was wearing camouflage gear and he was on a, there was a hill by where they train. I forget which sides it was. I think maybe Sampdoria were involved. And there was a picture of him as well, and somebody had gone up to the hills where by the side of the training ground, and there was a bloke in camouflage gear who was a scout for the opposition side, which I quite enjoyed.
So Jonathan Wilson said that, I don't know if he said it on the show, I don't think he did, but he said to us that, like, back in the day, I don't know how many years, I can't remember which tournament it was, but it was a World Cup a while ago, where the media, the press guys at England were a lot more strict. And they wouldn't give any of the journalists any access. And they used to pick them up from their hotel and drive them in a minibus every day or every media day to the England camp and give them a few preset asked questions, and that was it. And so Jonathan said what a lot of the journalists were doing were taking it in turns to jump out the minibus when they stopped for a break or something and leg it through the forest and watch the training. From up there to try and get more insight about England, but they would rotate it around so the driver would never know that same people were missing every time.
That's
what they had to go to. That's the extent they had to go to get information on England.
Yeah.
They haven't got to do that now because it's the Southgate era.
Exactly.
And it's much more open.
More palatable.
Southgate's interview yesterday was wonderful on the television.
Mm.
I was like, oh, I got excited. I like Gareth Southgate. He's a nice man.
He was good on the radio this morning as well.
He's very stoic and peaceful, and he understands. He kind of understands the office a little bit.
Would you say he's different to former England manager Fabio Capello?
I will say that, yes.
Yeah. Pete, would Gareth
Southgate, seems a little more invested, let's say.
Pete, would Gareth Southgate get a performance out of you?
As in what, like a dancing performance?
Anything.
I reckon he would.
I think he's the type of manager who'd get the best out of old Donny there.
He's like a monk, isn't he? You're right, he is very stoic, but he's also very focused and calm. And
The way he delivers it, because he was asked on the BBC whether... When he had his England manager's training kit on, he was asked whether he stood in front of the mirror in his hotel room and had a look. And you could tell he was quite sort of put out by that. But you guys are right. The way he delivered the answer was like quite a firm, that's a stupid question, but I'm going to answer it in a respectful way. And he said something like, you know, I'm not here as a tourist. Yeah, I'm here to have a good time. I'm here to enjoy it.
Yep.
But I'm here to do a job on behalf of everyone at home.
Uh-huh.
And so that's not why I'm here, sort of thing. But you can imagine another manager being like, stupid question, shut up.
Mm. Yeah, you're right.
Sam Allardyce would have been, shut up.
No, Sam Allardyce would have been like, oh.
Yeah.
Cool. But he said that, didn't he, with his England tracksuit. He looked at himself in the mirror and he was absolutely loving it, which is fine. There's nothing sort of too wrong with that. But I think Southgate's that kind of respectful and kind of firm an erudite kind of approach that he takes with the media has been very successful, and a lot of the journalists like him, as we said before.
There is a timeline not too far from this one where Sam Allardyce is in charge of this World Cup.
Well, you should watch.
I would love to be able to peek into that.
You should watch that BBC documentary, The Impossible Job, because they interview every manager, I think every living manager of England in chronological order, and obviously Big Sam's in there. And
Sven looks a bit like a smiley testicle these days.
Yeah, he's had his hair shaved and stuff. Yeah, but the stuff about Big Sam, the Big Sam sections are particularly interesting purely because he, of course, never really got going. So he feels like there's a huge amount of unfinished business.
Oh, yeah.
And although it could be perceived as being a bit sort of... Because he's literally saying stuff, oh, well, will I watch England in the World Cup? Yeah, but I'll be sitting there thinking that should be me there.
Oh, I understand it from his point of view.
So that could come across as a little bit sort of a bit of bluster. But the way he's saying it, you can tell he's actually quite emotional about
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
I felt quite sorry about it.
No, he wanted it his whole career, didn't he?
Yeah. Sitting watching England on the telly with a pint of wine. Anyway, we are going to talk about Brazil.
Before we go to the break, I just want to remind people, Germany were beaten.
Yeah.
Let's keep that at front
beaten.
Of mind.
Yes, yeah, well, I was about to say, in the second half of this football round, we're going to talk about Brazil, we're going to talk about Mitrovic, and we're going to mention Germany getting beaten again. See you in a moment.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
James Rodriguez! Oh! Moment of magic!
Welcome back to the World Cup Ramble, everybody. Germany were beaten by Mexico 1-0. But we're going to talk about Brazil, one of the big boys. They drew 1-1 with Switzerland.
Mm.
Disappointing start. Good point for the Swiss, though. Fought hard. They roughed up Neymar.
A lesson in how to rotate fouls.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah. Led by Valeron Barami.
It was almost like they're turning around going, right, whose turn is it now?
Yeah.
Right, go on then. You do it.
Gumbo,
the most fouled player in a World Cup game since Alan Shearer in 98, apparently.
Yes. Really?
Which game was that?
I don't know. But that's what it is. There was 11 fouls or something.
Blimey, yeah, it was 11 fouls.
Would it have been Alan Shearer in 98? Would have been, wouldn't it?
Alan Shearer was in 98, yeah.
You imagine Alan Shearer could probably take more of a kick than Neymar.
That's because Alan Shearer
back of an injury.
Yeah, but that's because Alan Shearer was fouling them.
Yeah, 12 times.
There was getting...
I couldn't figure out whether Neymar was just not up to speed after his injury or he was just too busy being fouled. I couldn't figure it out.
I know what you mean. I thought he didn't think he lacked fitness per se. But you are right, it was difficult to tell. But as you mentioned earlier, Luke, Argentina trying to go through Messi all the time. Give it out to Willian, maybe? Do you know what I mean?
That's the point. That's the point I made about Messi and Argentina after the Iceland game. Yes, that did happen. Exactly happened like that. But the other players have got to exploit that. The other players that Brazil have got, Coutinho, Jesus and Willian, against the Swiss back four, which is okay. I mean, it's experienced and, you know, you've got Rodriguez who plays at Milan, who's a good player. Lichtsteiner's best years are behind him, but he's still good. Shah, he's the captain of the team, but he's not really fulfilled his promise, but he's decent enough. But those players should be able to exploit that. Mm. If Neymar's getting fouled by every single Switzerland player every time he gets the ball, then they need to exploit that.
They do.
And they didn't do that. Yeah. And it was brilliant. It was one point, I don't know if you guys saw it, Neymar, over by the touchline, by the bench, he got fouled again. And in English, he looked over at the assistant.
He did. Went, 1, 2, 3.
1, 2. It sounded like the intro to a song.
Yeah.
I wish he'd just got it. It sounded like the intro to
James Brown song.
No, Lou Bega.
I was about to say Lou Bega. I think he was somewhere in the crowd going, "That's me."
Yeah.
Was it 1, 2, 3, 4 motorway? Who did that one?
Oh, Tom Robinson.
Tom Robinson. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 2, 4, 6. Ain't
2, 4, 6. Yeah.
What a lovely goal from Coutinho, though.
It was a beaut.
Delish. Not the best one of the tournament so far, though.
No.
Can't even have that.
It's interesting, wasn't it? Because it really looked like Brazil were in charge. For the majority of the first half, and Coutinho scoring seemed just par for the course really at that point. But they didn't really carve too many clear openings. They were quite dominant, but it really did feel like they'd probably get another. It would maybe be 2, possibly 3-0 if they could finish with a bit of a flourish. But the Swiss did so well to get back into that game. They are sixth in the world, and obviously the rankings have their problems, but they don't mean nothing. Like Switzerland, I think, are a much better side than people give them credit for, and they showed why there. They really stood up to what looked like was going to be a comfortable routine win at first.
Yeah, you're right to suggest that the rankings do mean something, but when you said they don't mean nothing, I thought you were they don't mean nothing.
And maybe a slightly controversial point, but a theory I think worth exploring nonetheless is that the Coutinho goal, you could almost see that didn't affect Switzerland's confidence because it was the type of goal where they were like, wow, what do you want to do about that?
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't something we could have done better. You could say, oh, maybe they could have got out to him quicker, but people always say that when the goals are scored like that. Mm. No one is stopping that goal. Football is a sport that sometimes that can happen in, and there's nothing you can do about it. And it didn't affect Switzerland. They just thought, right, back at it, crack on then. We're still in the game. And they applied themselves really well. Joking around about Barami, he had a brilliant game, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He was absolutely fantastic.
They picked up 3 yellow cards, Switzerland. I thought it was going to be more than that when I looked, actually.
It's the rotation.
Which I know is a lot in one sense, but what they did, actually, they managed it pretty well, even though it is the sort of dark arts and so on and so forth. But Zuba arriving well with a 5-star header.
Yes. It was a foul.
Yeah.
It was a foul.
VAR. Not interested in that.
Yeah, no, mate.
It was a foul, though, wasn't it?
I'd like to think the referee. It was a foul. I'd like to think the referees in the VAR booth are saying, we could give that, but 1-0 would make it a bit more interesting. Which would make them extremely unprofessional, of course.
I honestly think, I don't want to talk about VAR, but I think that VAR will be a very different beast outside the World Cup. This is the biggest tournament it's been used in. I think they are showing a little more reserve than they will in the future. So,
yeah.
Possibly. But you know, the fact remains about that goal, though, that. Talking about Alisson going for big money to the biggest clubs in the world and being one of the world's best goalkeepers, he's got to come for that. I mean, it's 3 yards out. He's got to take it. He's got to dominate
that. I did think that. But it was a satisfying one. He powered it into
the net. You weren't saying that yesterday when I brought the keeper out in FIFA. That's all.
No, that is true.
We were playing together.
Jim, you're having that one. Headers are cool. An English goal. Cool. Bang!
That was very, very cool.
I absolutely loved it. You know, when it slapped the net, I thought, that's Jan Koller-esque.
Oh,
come on.
A little bonus.
Absolutely. Bonus.
Anyone can power a header from 3 yards out.
Well, no. Not everyone can. Because you've got to meet it. Come on. Don't take away.
But it wasn't a crowded penalty box.
But it wasn't a arriving
Did you
late.
Enjoy it?
Yes, well, I did
Thank
enjoy
you.
It.
Thank you for answering the question.
I enjoyed most
No further ones. No further ones.
I think it's worth pointing out as well, with regards to Brazil's performance. I think Brazil, Spain and Portugal so far are the only teams where you can look at them and go, if you need to do something amazing to get something out of a game and dig it out, then they can.
Yes.
Argentina have needed to do that and they've not been able to do it. Germany have needed to do that and they've not been able to do it. England will obviously do it tomorrow as well, later on today as well.
Yeah.
But you look at those three teams and think, actually, already you've hit the ground running and you can pull it out when you need to.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brazil play Costa Rica next, who are 25-1 to beat the boys from Brazil with Bet365. £10 on that will return £260, including stake. There we go.
Absolutely.
And what I mean by that is, because obviously Brazil only drew the game, but that Coutinho goal was ridiculous.
Brazil still got something more in the tank. That's
but I don't think you could. But Argentina and Germany could do that.
Oh, absolutely. In theory, they could.
But we've
seen these teams do it already.
It's only
which bodes well for them.
The first game, brother. All right.
I can't wait for the second round again. So stop saying that.
Well, when England muff it up, I'll be like, it's only the first game, guys.
No, if England win 3-0 tonight, tomorrow, you will not be saying that.
I'll say, that's it. Tournament over.
You had a go at me for saying that yesterday.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Costa Rica. They'll need a win in the next game because they were beaten by Serbia. Great free kick from Kolarov.
Yeah.
Mitrovic should have scored. He should be off the mark.
I thought he led the line quite well, held up the ball in many different situations. But yeah, he does have that in his locker. What was that?
That was good. Well done.
All type Patrice Evra.
I think Patrice Evra was just clapping like an invisible dragon on he could see. Because he's that mad. Yeah. He's going, hey, well done.
Does the dragon belong to you? And do you call it Pete's dragon?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. No, he's a very laid back man. Right, that's enough.
Get out.
You've had your 15. Mitrovic's overhead kick was delightful, wasn't it?
Nearly.
It was a delightful effort.
Yeah, all right.
God, blimey. What's up with
you? Tough to please, isn't it?
Serbia looked the better side, though.
They were the better team, and I think Mitrovic had a hat for the chance, isn't it? On another day, perhaps he would have missed them again. And another day after that, he might have scored them.
Come on, that's harsh.
I think they
Kolarov was a great goal, though.
They would have won the game a lot more convincingly if Mitrovic took his chances. They were the better team. Milinkovic-Savic looked good. Looked like his first competitive game for Serbia. So while that hype train's up and running, he's not a hugely experienced international player. So
only the first game.
He settled in nicely to that. Serbia are clearly better than Costa Rica, and they you'd expect them to come out of the group after what we've seen.
Definitely.
Would you rate them above Switzerland?
Oh yeah, I think they'll finish second behind Brazil.
You rate Serbia above Switzerland?
Correct.
I think that's tight. I think that's close.
Only just, but I do. That's what I would think. I think they've got. I think Switzerland going forward didn't show. It's difficult against Brazil. I just think with old Mitro up there, but with some of Serbia's more creative players as well, I think they will create chances. Mm. Switzerland, it will be relying on, well, as we saw the set piece, maybe a little bit of magic from Shaqiri, although he did try some fancy footwork and then just got smothered a few times. But again, against Brazil, it's difficult to see. But it will be a good game. I look forward to that one, Serbia v Switzerland.
Just going back to that very, very quickly, something I forgot to say about Shaqiri is that, you know, he's been heavily linked with Liverpool and playing under Klopp. I really hope he signs for Liverpool, because Klopp will not accept any of that nonsense that he gets away with at Switzerland and he got away with at Stoke. And he could become it'll be the best move for his career by miles.
If he can step up to it.
Because at international level, no one is saying to him. I mean, it's almost a similar thing to the Germany thing. He's playing in front of I know he drifts around and he plays in different positions, but essentially he starts the game in front of Lichtsteiner, who's 34, against Brazil. Mm. You know, it's like, if you just added a bit more work rate to your game, you wouldn't have to worry about it. There's a reason he's no longer at Bayern Munich, is what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, it was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you understand what I mean, though.
Yeah. But people have quite generously reminded me of something I said about him about 7 years ago or whenever it was, that he's a very talented player and so on, but if he doesn't apply himself properly, and I think I said he could end up playing for somebody like Bolton. And of course,
and he ended up at Stoke.
And he ended up at Stoke, which is not a far cry. And again, no disrespect to Bolton or Stoke and so on, but a player for those capabilities and abilities who was on the books of Bayern. Did he play for Inter as well, maybe? You know, He could have, and we thought he was going to kick on. He's got a wonderful hat trick in the last
World Cup. I know he's barrel chested and stuff, but that is a player who's carrying a little bit more timber than you'd expect.
He's like a barrel with a tree trunk through the middle of him.
He's a Volvo man, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Would you join some emails, guys? You've got a couple.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Can I just mention briefly Ivanovic, 104th cap, becoming Serbia's most cap player?
No, you can't.
All right.
Okay, correspondence. Hello to Matt. He's a Socceroo fan. Good day, lads. Just a quick heads up in case you're unaware, but there is currently riots in the streets of every town and city in Australia due to the mobile phone service provider Optus having exclusive rights to all of the World Cup games. Being the highest bidder has allowed them to broadcast every World Cup game live. The issue is, though, they've never had a TV channel or streaming service before. So every game, without fail, cuts off after 15 seconds and comes back with an error message. Their excuse? We didn't realise so many people would be on the service at once.
Oh, God.
apparently, Pete, they've had to. They've agreed that SBS, a free-to-air TV service,
are going
to
take some of the
have to take over for the next 48 hours while they sort it out.
Oh man!
And we'd like to introduce our new sponsor, Optus. Yeah. Thank you for that, Matt. Hello to Bob. Hello, Ramblers. Seeing Nobby Solano on the TV reminded me that someone I used to work with lived in the same cul-de-sac as him in Newcastle. He used to play his trumpet all hours of the day, but would also mow everyone's lawns and wash their cars. At Christmas, he bought his neighbours Christmas presents too. What a guy.
Like a kid trying to get pocket money.
hang on. Everyone's?
Nobby Solano?
He wouldn't wash. I doubt he'd wash them like by himself. He'd get them washed, wouldn't he?
Well,
it's still odd.
He'd have a man in. He'd have like a player liaison in or something.
He's obviously a good guy. The thing is, on that note, Pete, we have to really work out of Iceland, Peru and Mexico so far, who are, our favourite sort of second teams are. Because Mexico, they charmed me yesterday.
Yeah.
Been a lot of Mexican waves going around generally.
But not in the Mexico game, obviously.
No, perhaps
that wave was just a wave, wasn't it?
Yeah. It would just be a wave, wouldn't it? Yeah. But how would you rank a Mexico, Peru, Iceland? And how much you've enjoyed them so far.
Mexico would be top, wouldn't
they? Yeah, it'd be Mexico, Iceland, Peru.
But the thing is with Peru, it was just so gutting that they didn't score. I think if Peru had got a point, they'd have got that equaliser.
That back heel had gone in.
Imagine it. But it didn't. Yeah, and we roll on.
Yeah. Any more, Peter?
That's it.
Well, there's a final one from Chris Shaw.
Oh, cool. Good.
Well, I was going to shove it in later on, but Chris Shaw, you know you're a 5 on the fevometer when you find yourself welling up listening to Three Lines 98.
98?
Wow. Now, I heard this on my radio station a couple of days ago.
We still believe. We still believe.
It's weird. Like, it's like a... It's like a tribute to the 96 version.
Well, it is, don't they sing, there are lines in it that says we're coming home, which obviously was at Euro 96 when England were hosting the tournament. So that made sense.
Mm. Yeah.
They
just thought cash in. It's a cash in.
Yeah,
When I listened to some sort of World Cup compilation playlist on the way into the studio last Wednesday for our first World Cup show, it had Three Lines and Three Lines 98 on it.
Right.
And I ended up listening to both of them.
Did you get involved with the Emo Collect Space Girls Ocean Colour Scene on Top of the World?
No.
I do remember that.
Not familiar with that one. Yeah. Not familiar with it.
England's
How
Irish.
Does it Black feel Green. To be on top of the world?
Oh, I do remember that, yeah. Got the trigger, I fire like this. I ended up listening to Vindaloo on repeat, I'll be honest.
Vindaloo.
Because that's the most underrated one, I'd say.
Right,
it's
gentlemen.
It's not underrated. Come on now.
And I'm not someone who is I'll normally put a good amount of clear blue water between me and Keith Allen's work. But that is the exception that may prove the rule.
How do you feel on Fat Letters? I think he did a song called Naughty Christmas.
Naughty Christmas.
Naughty Christmas.
And I think Keith Allen might be jumping around in the back of the World in Motion video.
He is,
well.
He's involved. Yeah, he is, yeah. In the video. Yeah. Let's be clear about that. Belgium play Panama today.
Yep. Do we care? Naughty Christmas.
I'll tell you what, we will bloody well care if Panama win.
We certainly will. Do it for Beloy.
Yeah.
It's not out of the realms of possibility, to be honest, with this World Cup. Everything's possible at the moment. Indeed.
I'd quite fancy Panama to nick something.
I'd love that.
Dare to dream.
None of the big sides, and I'm including England in that, have really hugely impressed so far, apart from Spain and Portugal.
Spain were good.
But they drew.
I think Spain have been the best sides.
I don't think
easily.
Portugal were actually that good. I think Ronaldo was brilliant. Yeah, yeah, Spain were the better team.
I thought Spain looked, at 3-2, they looked delicious.
But let me put this to you, Jim. Belgium v Panama today.
Yeah.
Yes or no? Are you daring to dream?
I am absolutely daring to dream.
Pete Donaldson.
I saw Martinez being interviewed
Did you not hear the question?
In the same program as Gareth Southgate. So I'm going with a yes. I am daring to dream. Panama could get something.
Belgium, Panama. Are you daring to dream?
I think I'm going to dare to dream.
That's a full house. We are all daring to dream. Cameraman Sam, are you daring to dream?
Do it for Beloy.
Do it for the Panamanian player Beloy.
Yeah.
That's all we ask. Well, the manager of Tunisia, going to Tunisia versus England, believes that Dele Alli is England's danger man, and he said they'll try and inhibit the partnership Alli and Kane share on the field.
Inhibit the partnership!
Now he said...
What a shout.
Now he said that, don't play Alli.
I'd love...
Someone else in there.
I would love to have Nabil Malal. Was it Malul?
Malul.
Just hear him on one of the pitchside mics saying, inhibit the partnership. What do we talk about?
Remember last year when it was Fabian Delph and Kevin De Bruyne, and they were doing some filming with it. They were doing like a Snapchat video. And Kevin De Bruyne tries to film Fabian Delph, and Fabian Delph thinks it's a photograph. But De Bruyne just goes, he screams at Delph like really loud, it's a video, say something, it's a video. And I can't get say something, it's a video out of my head.
Maybe he'll do that into the camera if he scores. But you know, go and
score something, it's a video
on England. It sounds a bit like Hare Lip from the League of Gentlemen.
No, it sounds like the kid in The Simpsons that goes, I can't run, I'm full of chocolate. Kevin De Bruyne. I found my impression
your party piece.
Marcus, bit of Augustus Gloop in there?
Yeah,
well?
I'd say so. Any country that borders Germany.
Who were beaten by Mexico yesterday?
My mate Mark was like an extra, or like a featured artist, let's say, in the film Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with Johnny Depp. And he was over one side of the Chocolate River. He had one line, it got cut from the film.
And it was,
that's a lot of chocolate. Like that. Mark Ainsley did Wrestle Me.
It should have been you, Peter.
My friend Blair played the young Willy Wonka in that film.
Oh, yeah. And then went on to lead the country.
Yeah, no, it wasn't him.
But anyway, he was over one side of the Chocolate River just with Johnny Depp. And there was a lull in filming because they were resetting lights or cameras or whatever. And Mark just was striking up a conversation with Johnny Depp. He went, "Oh, so how long are you in London for?" And Johnny Depp just sort of like did a sort of point at him to sort of say, "Give me a second." Shouted at Tim Burton, "Tim!" to stop the extra talking to Johnny Depp.
Oh, wow.
Tim!
He's talking to me. One of them are talking to me.
I've seen Marcus do that at a live ramble before.
Well, you will. And you might well see it tonight.
Yeah. Oh, at the World Cup party.
Yeah.
Can I just make a semi-serious point about England? Do you guys mind? Have we got time?
Yeah.
It's a semi-serious point.
All right,
point.
Go on then.
It's just that we've all been very excited about England. I think probably in a slightly different way to what we would be normally.
Okay, say semi-serious,
with
remember.
It's blind faith usually, but now it's a bit like, well, you've got a bit of a plan. But what's really, really important is, nice one, Pete, good new order reference, is that England take exactly what they're doing, and whereas it's easy to do it in warm-ups and qualifying games and friendlies, it'll be very, very interesting tonight to see how inhibited they are in a tournament itself. Mm. And that is really, we can talk about Gareth Southgate, how impressive he's been, how good the camp looks, how good the players look. But actually, it counts for nothing if they don't apply that directly to a tournament situation, which is a lot easier said than done, by the way.
Well, if Big
Nabble, that's the big question mark over
them
now.
If Big Nabble's on the sidelines shouting, "Inhibit them!" Yeah. Then they could well be inhibited, you know. But Harry Kane said he can't wait to get out there and show the world what he's got. Mm.
Well, England are 5-1 to beat Tunisia 2-0 tonight. £10 with Bet365 returns, £60 including stake, should the Three Lions get off to a winning start.
Indeed. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. Gentlemen, we're up. Hey, England are coming to football town. And of course, those of you who will be at the Ramble World Cup party tonight, we look forward to seeing you gorgeous people there. But me and my Luke and my Jim and my Pete were off to Waterloo.
Lukey has got a massive bucket of Vindaloo.
Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
I'll never leave home without it.
Say goodbye. All right. Goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
Say something, it's a video.
And it's goodbye from me and from London. London, goodbye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have. How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.